opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the opportunity to hear from you and your word. We thank you for the Jeffcoats being here, and we pray that you would Brother Jeffcoat, as he teaches and preaches the word today, that we would each receive a blessing, and if there are areas in our lives that are not pleasing to you, we pray that your Spirit would point out those things so that we could be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ when we leave here today. We thank you also for his wife and for the music that the both of them bring to us, and we pray that that would be a blessing as well. Give us a great day now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I have one announcement I want to make this morning. We found out Wednesday night that both Jim and Lucy have had close loved ones pass away very recently. They're struggling. And obviously, those of you who know them well know that they used to come to our Sunday evening services when we had them. And we haven't been able to have them for quite some time since the Lord took our pastor home to heaven. So we need to pray for them and their situation. I have a card over here on the organ, and if you would like to write a little note of encouragement to them, you can do so in between services or at the end of the morning service if you would like, okay? I'll be mailing that out tomorrow, so we'll just do that today, all right? So I hope that that will be a blessing to them when they receive that. Okay, that's the announcements I have for right now during Sunday school. Let's go back to singing 135. Goodbye, old world, I'm through with you.
Thank you.
week, the 26th. So let's sing happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. We had a special day yesterday, and my youngest brother flew in from Arizona to be here for all that, so that was great. So it's always a blessing to have family in for all that kind of stuff. Okay. We do have a children's Sunday school class today, so that they can be dismissed to head downstairs. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 is our new memory verse we started working on last week. Philippians 3, 13. For the sake of time this morning, we'll just go over it one time together. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Children's Sunday school, it won't be very long before those two will be old enough to go. Mm-hmm. And actually attend as actual students. Mm-hmm. So they'll both be two before too long, so that'll be good. All right. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Let's say it together. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Okay. Brother Jeff Coop, we are ready for you to come and teach the word this morning.
Thank you, brother.
Notice that I didn't dare show up by myself today. I didn't want to be making apologies for my wife not being with me. And she's not always able to be with me. She's not always able to travel everywhere I go, but this is one of those places where she is so much wants to be present. I appreciate your sweet spirit. I think of this church as a place where the people always like to sing. That means a lot. I remember telling people, I like to go to Ray Street Baptist Church just to hear the preacher get up there at the pulpit and sing. You remember how Brother Freeman just be there at the pulpit. I'd tell preachers, I wish more preachers had that kind of a spirit. And you can rest assured, he's singing now more than he's ever sung before. But you haven't lost your song. And announcing that deep and wide. You know, I was one of those former bus kids, so I was ready with the deep and the wide. But there was a sister, and I'm not going to point her out, but when he mentioned we're going to sing deep and wide, I'm not going to say who she is, but she started limbering up before the song. I mean, before we started singing, she started limbering up to get ready for the... And so I appreciate a church that likes to, so don't ever lose that song. I'm going to give you just a brief update about our family because I want to look to the scriptures this morning. And I'm going to kind of divide the updates up a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit in Sunday school, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit more in the morning service. But we've got new prayer cards that are there in the back. I hope that you'll get one of those. And just my wife and I are on the card. And some people say, well, that's because it's just you and your wife now, huh? I said, no, that's because there's too many to put on the card now. After all, there's Elizabeth and her husband who are out in Missouri. By the way, we're going to be heading down south from here, heading down south. Going through Missouri on the way. Now, you know, that kind of geography only makes sense for a missionary evangelist who's also a grandpa. Because there's Elizabeth and there is Mark, our son-in-law, and Paisley, our granddaughter. You see how that makes me smile when I say that name. Paisley, our granddaughter. And Elizabeth told us that there's another on the way. So these are exciting days. Rachel and her husband, they are in Lijiang, China, Rachel and Colby. Lijiang is in the interior of China, not far from the Burmese border, the border of Myanmar, and not very far from the Indian border. And so they're very much towards the interior. When Rachel and Colby got married, they literally celebrated their honeymoon on the way to China. They had their wedding, they left town, and every part of the journey was taking them closer to China. So they've been laboring there for almost a year now. And we are looking forward. This may be my most exciting trip to India yet. We are looking forward to meeting them in India in July. July, you know, usually I'm in India in January and February because those are the beautiful months. July, now you would think you're going to say, well, July is a hot month. Not really. It's not so hot in July. March and April into May, those are the hot months in India. July, there is rain. Well, I want you to know there's only going to be sunshine where I'm at because our daughter and her husband are going to be meeting us and we're looking forward to going there. I'll save some of the updates of what we're doing for the morning service. I will tell you that we have been partnering with friends in Myanmar, the country of Burma, for some years now in translation and publication. Our book that the Sword of the Lord was so gracious to publish for us, we have translated into the Chin language of Myanmar. Many people still know it as Burma. Some call it Myanmar. I want you to know, even in India, some say Myanmar, some say Myanmar. So Myanmar, Burma. We have translated into the Chin language, which most Christians are Chin speaking. We will finish the Burmese language, I trust, by the end of this year. Most Burmese speaking people are Buddhist. The country of Myanmar is still a very strong Buddhist nation. But to give you an idea of the doors that are opening in recent days. Now, we've been involved in translation efforts for some years now. And by the way, the young man that I work with in Burma 20 years ago, he sat in a classroom where I was the teacher in India. We've been going to India for a little over 20 years now, and now this young man who was one of my students back then years ago, he has his own Bible college now where I'll be preaching the graduation in February. So it's exciting to labor in that part of the world and then to labor with friends that you've known as much as 20 years. Now, about 10 years ago, Burma was under the strong grasp of a military regime. In recent years, they have opened the door, and we still have to be careful there. But when I was getting my visa to go to Burma, I was surprised following the instructions. See, I'm used to a much more complicated process of getting into India, and many are losing their visas getting into India now. Many are being refused entrance, and we're glad that we're still able to go. But I was following the instructions to go to Burma, and they said on the internet, they said, if you'll fill out this form, you'll receive a letter of approval or denial within 3 business days. I thought to myself, yeah, right. You get it to me in a week and I'll be surprised. 3 business days. Would you be I was shocked when I got it the next day. They emailed it to me the next day. And then they told me They said, all you got to do is just print off this letter, carry it with you to the border of Myanmar, present it there with your passport. I thought, it can't be that easy. And would you believe, I walked up to the immigration officer, handed her the document, my passport, just the printed off letter, not even a visa. And she looked at the letter, printed the visa into my passport, smiled at me and said, welcome to Myanmar. I'm not used to that kind of a welcome. We don't get smiles usually when we enter into India. Years ago, foreigners were very restricted on where they could go in Burma. Would you believe we got into a vehicle and traveled for 7 hours into the Chin Hills? I mean, just not long ago, you would not be allowed. And then we were followed by the college choir who sang in every church before I preached. It was wonderful. So this is a reminder of some of the opportunities that the Lord is allowing us in these days, that in past days, people did not enjoy. And by the way, in the Yangon airport, they even have a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now I said, you know, that is some way to make a Southern boy welcome in Myanmar. And would you believe it? Wouldn't be surprised. Yangon is in Southern, but anyway. So I got on the airplane and I flew from Yangon to Mandalay. Rudyard Kipling had written about the road to Mandalay. I decided to fly instead. But we had a meal during that hour and a half flight, and gave us just enough time to enjoy the food and relax and land there in Mandalay. And then the flight from Mandalay to our final destination was less than a half hour. Now, my friend said to me, he said, they're going to feed us another meal. Now, I thought again, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. Less than a half hour, it's not happening. Would you believe that the stewardesses got up and started passing out the meal just as soon as we got to cruising altitude? Now, it was little box lunches, but I was impressed. So here I was. I enjoyed Kentucky Fried Chicken before I left, a nice meal on the way to Mandalay, and then another box lunch after I left that, all within just a few hours. I said on my radio broadcasts that I do, I thought about the missionaries who bore such hardships to go into places like that, and they would have longed to have seen the opportunities that we have. And here we are pampered, and in luxury we get to walk through these doors of opportunity. Please continue to pray for us as we continue to go into India, and yes, now Myanmar, and stopping off in Thailand in between. 2 Samuel chapter number 21. Would you stand together with me, please? Standing together, shall we? At times, reading a single verse is sufficient. At times, reading this lengthy of a passage is not what I prefer, especially thinking of some of the names that I need to attempt in pronunciation. And sometimes I confess, reading through a passage, I may pronounce a name, and then the next time I say the name, it may be pronounced a different way by my lips. 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel 21. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that I will do for you. And they answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mahalathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David that Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done what she had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son. And they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbib, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored to him, and smote the Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jerahoregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessing that is ours. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of these dear people, for their friendship through the years. We would ask that this morning that you would enable me to be an encouragement, and that even more, that, Lord, you would speak through me the truth that you've laid on my heart. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I think during these few moments, It will be obvious as to why I felt like the entire text was necessary. These were grievous days. Famine gripped the land. The Lord said it was because of Saul and his vengeance against the Gibeonites. You'll recall that there was a covenant between Israel and the Gibeonites. Saul disregarded any relationship they had known in days past. And he wreaked such havoc that God in his displeasure smote the land. He said it's because of Saul's vengeance against the Gibeonites. David asked of those who had been so oppressed. He said, what can I do to make the atonement? What can I do to make things right? And they said, we don't want Saul's silver. We don't want his gold. We want you to give 7 of his descendants that we may do as we will. We will hang them. David, he yielded to their request that the famine might cease. I want you to think first this morning of compassion. Compassion. I notice first in this text, aggression, not compassion. The Bible says that Saul, in his zeal for Israel and for Judah, he vented his anger against the Gibeonites. His zeal. You know, it's amazing how much men have excused on the grounds of their zeal. For his zeal in thinking upon Israel and thinking upon Judah, at least that's his explanation. We ought to be a zealous people, but be careful of this. Zeal can often give way to pride, arrogance, and even vengeance. We ought to be a zealous people. But the Bible says that Saul, in his zeal for Israel and for Judah, I think of aggression. But then I think not only of aggression, I think of frustration. David, knowing that things had to be made right, he said, what must I do to make the atonement? Think of frustration. Saul has done this, and now the Gibeonites ask this. 7 sons, descendants of Saul. David intervened on behalf of the one Mephibosheth. You'll read of another Mephibosheth who did die. They're obviously not the same. Frustration. Sometimes in our desire to do right, there's not so much aggression. But we confess there is frustration. The scriptures tell us of this one dear woman in those moments who herself lost 2 sons on this occasion. How that she lingered there in the shadows. She drove away the birds. She wet the ground with her tears. The Bible says that David, that he heard what she had done. And the scriptures tell us that immediately thereafter, that David sought to show remembrance toward Saul and toward Jonathan. One who had been so much an enemy, one who had been so much a friend. When David heard, the Bible says that he heard. It is obvious that her tenderness made a profound impact on his heart, on David. Please understand this. Her bitterness would have accomplished nothing good. And if anybody had a right to be bitter and to be angry, two of her sons, her bitterness would have accomplished nothing. But her tenderness accomplished more than what she could have ever realized. Compassion. Here is aggression. Here is frustration. Here is exhaustion. This dear woman emotionally exhausted, her heart spent. But the tears that she wept in those moments touched the heart of a king. Please understand this. Our bitterness accomplishes nothing good. Your tenderness accomplishes more than what you'll ever realize. I think of compassion. We sometimes say, here is my zeal. Be careful we do not become a salt. We ought to be a zealous people, but beware of aggression. Another says, I want to do right. Sometimes they're overwhelmed by the frustration. David says, what shall I do to make the atonement? And even in that moment of exhaustion, if there be tenderness, who knows what those tears wept in the shadows might accomplish? I think of compassion, and then I think of conquest. David the giant slayer himself now is advanced in years. But David the giant slayer, he trained men that themselves became giant slayers. We remember how that David, he picked up the 5 stones there at the brook. And we're quick to say, well, that's because Goliath had 4 brothers. And I don't think that is an incorrect answer. Indeed, Goliath had 4 brothers. And there was Goliath, then there was 4 brothers, and that's 5. And somebody said, David picked up the stone, and then he picked up the other 4 because his brothers were next. Now, I confess to you, I don't know who would have told him that Goliath had 4 brothers. I really honestly don't think that David knew. Maybe somebody told him. I don't see it in the text. But I'll tell you what I think. What I know is that in Scripture, 5 represents grace. Now, I think as David picked up those 5 stones, whether he fully realized it or not, he was giving picture of the grace of God on his behalf. And so, yes, the other 4 brothers of Goliath were soon to fall as well. You say 5 stones. There was Goliath, and then there was the 4 brothers. I don't think that is an incorrect answer. But I think there is more. You see, God's grace on our behalf yields so much and goes beyond the valley where David stood and beyond himself. Because the other giants did not fall at David's hand, but fell by others who were influenced by David. Let me tell you this of God's grace. God's grace goes beyond the valley. It goes beyond that moment when you stand in the shadow of Goliath. And it goes beyond your own life. You cannot keep it to yourself. You become a channel of grace. And so 5 giants were slain, but David only killed 1. But David, who's a giant slayer, he also trained giant slayers. Now, I want very quickly in these few moments that remain to us, I want us to think about these others. There was first the unstable warrior. The Bible says in verse number 17 that Abishai, that he was one of the giant slayers. Now, do you remember Abishai? Abishai, yes, he was the only one that when David went down to Saul's camp and found him there sleeping, and Abishai standing there with him, and Abishai said, "Let me smite him. This is the day when God delivers your enemy into your hand." And then David's own heart smote him because he would even do as much as he did. Let me tell you about this man, Abishai. Abishai was the one that when David returned after being in exile, he would look at both Abishai and Joab and say to them, "Are you this day become my enemy?" Because of the discord and the contention that they were causing in their attempt to do what they thought was good. It was not in sympathy with the king. Let me remember another time. Do you remember when Joab, when he killed Abner, there in the gate of the city, he called to him, and Abner drew to the side there to meet, and the Bible says Joab killed him. And the Bible describes very graphically how that Joab killed Abner. But if you read 2 Samuel chapter number 3 carefully, you will find where the Bible says that Joab and Abishai how that they killed Abner. I don't know that it's chapter 23. Maybe I'll find the text later and be able to share it with you. But the statement is made that Joab and Abishai, that they killed Abner. Now, again, I say to you that the scriptures tell us plainly, it's 2 Samuel chapter 3, by the way, and verse 30. 2 Samuel 3, verse 30 says, "So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner." Let me ask you something. What did Abishai do? The Bible says very graphically, Joab killed Abner. Describes the moment. Describes Joab taking hold of it and killing him. What did Abishai do? I don't know, but he was a part. I don't know what he did. Maybe he looked both directions to make sure nobody was. I don't have any idea what he did. But the Bible says that both Joab and Abishai, that they killed Abner. And apart from that statement, we would not have any idea that Abishai had anything to do with it. But God knew, and he told us. I want you to think about the unstable warrior, because there were times when Abishai was weighing in the balance between his loyalty to David and his affections for his brother, Joab, and the influence that a brother would have. But the Bible says that there came that moment when a giant thought to have slain David, that somebody stepped forward and saved the life of the king. It was Abishai. Sometimes there are those that we have seen who seem to be somewhat unstable warriors, but lest you give up. Who's to say what God might do through them still? Lest you give up on that string, brother. Lest you give up on that person who is not faithful as they. Lest you give up. Who's to say still what God might do in that life? I think about the unstable warrior, and then I think about the unknown soldier. And the Bible tells us that after Abishai, the Bible says that there was another who was used in the moment of the battle one who was named Sibbecai at a place called Gob. Now, we know that Gob is near a place called Gezer, but we don't know exactly where Gob was. Nobody can specifically locate, only know that it was near a certain place of which there is common knowledge. But here is a man of whom the Bible says so little about a place where nobody can find with any certainty. Here is one that was an unknown soldier. How oftentimes God has reminded us that He takes pleasure in lifting somebody out of the shadows and using somebody of whom others have scarcely ever heard. I think of the unstable warrior, and I think of the unknown soldier, and then I think of the unsuspected hero. The Bible tells us of another, Elhanan, of whom we know little, but we do know this, that his family was from Bethlehem. Now that's interesting, because David was from Bethlehem. Now, I am quite sure that David would have had some familiarity with that family. Bethlehem was a very small town. I have no doubt that this man was familiar to David. And yet, it was not until a moment such as this that he shined forth like he did. Here was an unsuspected hero. Who would have predicted? David perhaps knew him from early days, maybe from youth, and yet this young man, no doubt some years younger than David, this young man, David, being familiar, I believe, with this family. Bethlehem was just a little town. Who would have thought? And sometimes I find myself quite delighted to see the people that God is pleased to use. I see somebody that maybe I'm somewhat familiar with their circumstances, and then I find myself quite taken back that the Lord would be so pleased to use. And by the way, the Bible says of the giant that his spear was like a weaver's beam. Now, hear me. So oftentimes men, they focus upon the weapon, on the tool, but God still, He focuses on the man. His spear, the spear of the giant, was like a weaver's beam. The name Sibbecai means a weaver. By the way, if you think that is coincidence, the name of his father means forest of weavers. As if to say, here he comes, and if he didn't, there'd be a bunch more behind him. And he won't be the last. It means forest of weavers. So the spirit of the giant is like a weaver's beam. But God sends a man whose very name means weaver. Oftentimes men, they focus upon the instrument either that they use or that is lifted against them. And God still focuses on the man. But then let me just mention very quickly this last name, Jonathan. Jonathan, the son of Shimeah. And let me speak of an unfaithful generation. Sometimes we look at the generation that's coming up behind us, and in dismay we think to ourselves, what will become of the work of God? When you see the youth of our day, when you see the generation that is to follow. Do you remember how the Bible says that when Amnon, he sinned with his half-sister Tamar, that the Bible says that he had a friend whose name was Jonadab? That friend was a cousin that counseled him to do wrong. And no doubt David thought to himself, I cannot believe this. My son Amnon, who many thought was destined for the throne, and my nephew, what is becoming of this generation? Well, the nephew who advised Amnon to do the wrong that he did, he was the son of a man named Shimeah, who also had another son whose name was Jonathan. That son was a giant slayer. What I'm saying to you is this. There was one son that was known for great subtlety and wickedness. There was another son that was known for his boldness. Sometimes we look at the next generation that's soon to follow ours and we think to ourselves, what will become of our country? What will become of the church? My friend, who's to say how that God might lay his hand on a young life and use, even in what seems to be an unfaithful generation, that God might raise up a giant slayer still? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, Lord, for these moments and pray that you'd bless the service to follow. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.